You are listening to a sermon by Charles Parris, recorded on Sunday, October 30th, 2011, at the Point Grey Interminonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Thank you for inviting this RC to Reformation Sunday in the Mennonite congregation within the bounds of my Roman Catholic parish. Henry, after all, phoned me one day a few weeks ago and invited me to speak on the Bible, Luther, and Catholicism. Those very vast subjects. So all-encompassing that I could speak about everything and end up saying nothing. The adage that comes to mind to describe that kind of orator is, I am sure all of you know, someone who knows everything but has learned nothing. To avoid that slur, I focused on something more specific. On September the 22nd of this year, Pope Benedict the 16th, that chap with the long white gowns, residing in the Vatican, spoke to the Council of the Evangelical Church in Germany. The location was in the chapter hall of the former Augustinian monastery of Erfurt, where Luther had taken his vows as a monk. In that colloquium, Benedict had a few things to say about our subject today: the Bible, Luther, and Catholicism. However, not once did he mention Catholicism. But then why should he? His audience had a clear idea who he was and whom he represented. I want you to stop and think what Luther would have said had he known that the Pope was to speak in Erfurt in the monastery. In 1531, speaking to his, and I quote, "dear Germans," unquote, Luther said, "Till now, none has known what the gospel is. The papal asses darkened and suppressed it all. Asses they are indeed, for I was one of them." That comes from the book by Ernst Walter Zieden from Breisgau. It's called The Legacy of Martin Luther. I think that if Luther were present at Erfurt on September the 22nd of 2011, he would heartily congratulate Benedict the 16th. Almost 500 years have passed, and both Luther and Benedict have matured. Like good wine, good dialogue is better after some thoughtful years. Benedict is no longer Luther's antagonist, but his fellow Christian. What Benedict says of his brother is clear and unequivocal. What constantly exercised him, says Benedict, was the question of God, the deep passion and driving force of his whole life's journey. For Luther, theology was no mere academic pursuit, but rather the struggle for and with God. This is the first summons we should attend to in our encounter with Martin Luther. That was the first step that led him personally to Christ. It was an encounter person to person. Luther's thinking, his whole spirituality, was thoroughly Christocentric. And remember, this is still Benedict speaking. What promotes Christ's cause was for Luther the decisive criterion for the exegesis of sacred scripture. Luther here points the way to the love of Christ and the Bible, where God's plan of salvation is found. From the creative narratives of Genesis through the prophets and wisdom, into the Gospels, epistles, and all the New Testament, to the present day challenges of the 21st century Christian church. Luther's insight for Christianity was that we had strayed far too far from the gospel and the creeds of the early Christian communities. The community of love had become a powerful empire. It was time to return to our roots, to study exegesis and analyze an analysis of the Bible. You know as well as I do that clarion calls to reform are all very well and good. However, the call must be followed by practical progress for concrete results. Today, Christianity's fractured body has a primary task in its ecumenical work. And I quote, "It was the error of the Reformation period, both Reformation and Counter-Reformation in historical terms, that for the most part we could only see what divided us. We had forgotten or deliberately hidden how much we have in common. Everything that makes us Christian, the great deposit of sacred scripture and the early Christian creeds." And Benedict makes it abundantly clear that when we pray and sing, as we have done this morning, we make our joint commitment to the God of Jesus Christ as our inalienable shared foundation. Benedict ends off his discourse to the council members at Erfurt with two issues that need to be addressed. Not with answers, but with questions and challenges. The first is with what he calls the new form of Christianity, which is spreading with overpowering missionary dynamism. Call it what you will, but it is not the Christianity of Luther or Catholicism. Not the established mainstream churches with their traditions, dogmatic depth, reasoned theology, and well-rooted customs. It is a faith of the unformed Christianity of the early church. And for Benedict, as he says, it raises afresh the question about what has enduring validity and what can or must be changed. As you can well imagine, and this is my commentary, Benedict's focus on that is the huge missionary work that confronts Christianity in South America, where particularly the whole 14th, 15th, and 16th century Christianity was imposed upon South American culture. But it is for him a difficult question that needs to be dealt with. His second point is the ever-present split between faith and a secular society that has no room in the public sphere for faith in what is beyond the visible. The Pope gives no hard and fast solution or solutions to such an issue. It has to be worked out through the experience, successes, and failures of everyday Christians confronting the world of God's creation in fear and trembling. Let me end off this morning's few thoughts with Benedict's final words in his address. As the martyrs of the Nazi era brought together and prompted that great initial ecumenical opening, so today, faith that is lived from deep within amid a secularized world is the most powerful force guiding us towards unity in the one Lord. I've said enough. I thank you for listening. I thank you for having invited me. And let's hope there are a few questions.